other people's money and the knowledge and the ability to get that is the single biggest asset that any entrepreneur, any business owner, any CEO really needs to understand, because that is what's going to allow you to scale.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm excited. I've got Brad Blazer here today. He is a former CEO of a small oil company. He's highly sought after for speaking on the subject matter of capital raising. And who doesn't need more money, right? Having raised in excess, are you ready for this? $2 billion with a B. Today, he mentors others around the world as part of his global coaching business on how to raise funds from high net worth individuals to build, buy, and scale your business, or fund a special project like what we do in real estate. Having worked alongside many large real estate syndicators, top real estate professionals, and financial services firm, he is considered an expert on raising private money. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing great today. It's great to be here with you, Neil.
Good. I'm excited to have you here. I appreciate you taking the time to connect up here. So you were in the oil business, but what was your first parlay into real estate?
Well, really, my first parlay into real estate was connecting with the guy that you and I both know many years ago. It was back, I think, in 2005. And that was Russ Whitney. I was event, and it was one of these, build wealth events. And they had people there from, the stock market, the real estate space, a couple other spaces were there. And so I heard one of the representatives, of course, for Russ Whitney up there on stage, and signed up. I think I spent $1,000, got a couple of his books, went to one of his wholesaling boot camps, and just said to myself, well, shit, I can do this.
Sure.
And so I got started basically as a what you would call subject to expert. That was kind of the lane, that I was driving down, and did my first subject to. Went in there, did the rehab, rented it out, and then got another one. And shit, before you knew it, I had over a dozen properties. I guess you'd call me a professional landlord. And that's really how I got my start in real estate. But I did it the wrong way. And I say that because I went into real estate without a plan. I was just so excited about getting these different deals. Yep. It's like, got my first deal, boom, got my second deal. And I was nailing bandit signs up all over town. And the mistake I made doing business, and I think today Houston's the third largest city, is on a good day, you could be driving an hour and a half from one side of town to another.
Wow.
And so on any typical day, I'd have to drive an hour and a half from the house to go meet a plumber because a water heater went out. And then I'd have to drive another hour to go see a contractor that might have been painting or doing some sheetrock. And if I had to do it all over again, knowing what I know now, I would have focused on a very, very concentrated geographic part of town to try to really dominate that and have all of the houses or have all of the properties that I was renting, within 20 to 30 minutes of each other, just for the sake of time efficiency. But that's largely how I got started, man, just doing single family deals, the Burr method, building a rental portfolio to create that horizontal stream of income that I refer to as mailbox money. And then from there, the rest is history.
Tell me, you were starting, knowing what you know now, you would have concentrated geographically. Would you have changed your asset class? Would you have been in single family, or would you have been in something a little different, knowing what you now know?
Yeah, I think that everybody that gets started in real estate, not really, but I mean, the majority of people get started in single family.
Right.
You either own a house and you're upgrading, or you get relocated and you make the decision, I don't want to sell the property. I can rent it out and, hopefully make a little bit of money or at least collect the tax benefits. Yeah. Or, some people that have some discretionary wealth and discretionary income, they go out and they buy a second house or get into real estate. But usually the single family space is the space a lot of people get started in just because it's pretty simple.
Yep.
Doesn't really take a lot of work to figure out how to rent something out or how to flip it. If I were to do it again, maybe what I would focus on is duplexes or fourplexes just to have a little bit more diversification in the portfolio, because certainly when a rental property is empty and you don't have that check coming in every month, that can put a little bit of a financial pinch on some people. But it was a great learning experience. You know, you learn how to rehab, you get a pretty good idea of, you know, what it costs to redo a bathroom or, you know, remodel a kitchen. And so, you know, over the course of a couple of quick rehabs, I was able to walk in a property without a contractor and just take a little notepad and just pencil it out and say, okay, you know, it's going to cost me about 25 G's to upgrade and to rehab. And then I, you know, bring in the guys behind me and, you know, within a couple $1,000s, I was spot on. But that's really where I kind of learned how to carve my teeth.
There's some benefit to cutting your teeth on single families and then doing it because it's so multifaceted. You learn how to, in many cases, be a property manager. You learn how to run a remodeling business, right? Whether you're the guy swinging the hammer or not, there's some benefits there. And then your ability to go, cool, if you really want to build wealth, you've got to scale that in a big way or end up in a different asset class. And so there's some things there. All right. So let's say somebody's at that point. They're at a spot where they've done single family. They know how to put things together. They know how to maybe even put some apartment deals together. And now it's time to go big. Mm-hmm. So they can do that in a new asset class or the same one, just in a bigger scale, but they need money. Now they're at a point where it's time to raise. Brad, what does one do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. And I talk to people all the day that are just massive in the single family space. Mm. You know, they're doing 100 deals a year and they're like in 7-8 figures, which is great. The challenge, though, that I've always felt, and I know a lot of guys that you and I both hang out with in the mastermind, is you're on that treadmill constantly in a transactional type business. You know, you're wholesaling, you're flipping. And the second that that business stops, you stop making money.
Correct.
And the way to build wealth really in real estate is by building a rental portfolio and getting to the point, obviously, where you have, you know, hundreds of people, in many cases, thousands of people that are paying you rental income. Right. And after you cover the expenses, you obviously have your net. And that's really, you know, where we decided to go. Over the course of my career, how I've raised over $2 billion through my efforts and the efforts of teams I managed is really to consult and work alongside some of the largest real estate syndicators. I mean, these companies have, you know, billion-dollar portfolios where when you ask them, like, how many units do you manage? 6,500, you know, 10,000. And that's a big, massive portfolio.
Yes.
But it's amazing when I sat down and talked to the CEOs and the founders and realized that most all of that was built off the backs of investor capital.
Right.
It's like, you know, John Williams, the owner of Post Properties, which at the time was the largest owner of apartment communities in the United States. Yep. He's like, look, all the money, man, has been raised from individual investors through syndications. And so looking at that model of having owned an oil company for over a decade, where basically all of our drilling programs were funded by investor capital, right. I said, man, this is my lane. And what's great about raising capital from investors is it's nothing more than a skill. You have to understand a few basic concepts and key principles. And once you understand and largely master those, it's just a matter of putting forth the effort and taking action. Raising money does entail work. You got to work at it just like anything else in life. But for those people that are willing to make the commitment, Neil, and invest the time, invariably, they will have success raising capital. Heck, one of my students, Neil, in Vegas, has only been in our program now a little over 3 months. And since applying some of the principles that he's learned, he's raised $6 million here today.
Wow. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. BatchLeads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. BatchLeads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. BatchLeads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. It's fair to say that it's not just a skill, but there's a skill and then a proven process. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can go about it haphazardly and you'll get lucky and you'll get people to open up their checkbooks. But there are a lot of rookie mistakes that people make. And if we can help people avoid some of those rookie mistakes, if we can help people put together a much better prepared pitch deck or just prepare their delivery to a much greater degree, they're going to obviously have much greater success in the process. The biggest mistake that I see a lot of people make when I kind of dissect what they're doing, when they call me and say, you know, hey, I'm trying to raise money. It's miserable. I'm floundering. I'm just not having success. It's like, you know, a rocket scientist, boom, I can go in and almost pinpoint exactly what they're doing wrong. Yeah. And what they're largely doing wrong, probably 90% of the time, is they're pitching the deal and they're speaking about the opportunity way too early in the process. You see, one fundamental principle you need to understand when it comes to raising money is you need to really focus on building that trust and building that relationship first, because nobody's going to invest with you until they trust you. Well, building that trust typically takes two or three conversations or meetings. It's largely asking that other person questions about themselves so they start to open up. And then you can use the answers to those questions to tailor your delivery when you come back in to present the opportunity. You see, if you know the person's looking for income, you can tailor your presentation to focus on the income aspects of the asset. If you know the person's concerned about taxes, you can talk about how investing in real estate can mitigate your taxes through depreciation. Right. So by learning all of those things, you're significantly increasing your odds when it comes to having success as a capital raiser.
No, that makes total sense. That so much of that applies to all of life, does it not? When you're sitting buying a home from owner direct or whatever it may be, is tailoring what it is you're doing to the hot buttons, the items that are motivating to them.
You got it. Absolutely. 100%.
Tell me, what do you think the difference is from somebody who owns, make up a number, let's say it's 50 units to 500 units mentally. What's the difference between those two people and that gap?
Well, I think one is the person that owns 500 units probably realizes that, you know, you can scale and own 500, 1,500, 2,000, largely outsourcing a lot of the things that that smaller-minded person might be still hanging on to. You know, when you get 50 units, you can manage that yourself or with a very small team, maybe one or two assistants, because you're not collecting a lot of rental income. But when you get, you know, a couple hundred units, you realize that's what property management companies do. And a lot of people never invest in properties, quote, outside their state. Like, you know, I live in Texas. Well, why would I not want to own a property in Florida or in the Carolinas or in Georgia or maybe out west in Arizona or Nevada, which are some of the really hot, sexy markets today? I don't physically have to go out there every time there's a problem. That's what property managements do, and that's why they exist. All I'm going to do is just purchase the property, sit back and collect the rental income after the property management does their job of leasing it up, taking care of maintenance, those types of things. And I'm more than happy to pay them whatever, the 3 to 5%. But I think that a lot of it really is just scale. And maybe for a lot of people, it's the inability to give up control. A lot of people are really so focused on, I need to control all aspects of my business. But successful entrepreneurs have largely learned you need to actually give up control and delegate control to people that you can trust and allow them to basically do the jobs that they were hired into. Once you start doing that, man, it's real easy to scale.
And oftentimes it's easier, is it not, to work? At that point, you're pivoting from working into working on.
Correct. Exactly. Absolutely.
And it's how you can actually get a business that serves you instead of the other way around.
Yep. Absolutely. Correct.
Yeah. Not everything's easy. Not and raising money, I think it's probably fair to say people probably make it more challenging than what it actually needs to be. Mm-hmm. What do you think holds people back from making that mental leap and pivoting from, you know, wherever they're stuck to get to the other side, to a solution, to be able to scale, to be able to raise and overcome their mental barriers as it relates to raising dollars and cents from other folks?
You know, I think there's really a couple things. I think there's a lot of limiting beliefs and self-doubt and fear where basically raised, you know, to not borrow money from people. It's like, if I go and I ask a friend for a loan, he's going to know I'm dead ass broke, right? So it's almost like in your subconscious that going out and asking people for money, is not a good thing. It's kind of like the myth, right? Money's the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Well, hell no, money's not the root of all evil. Money is great because you can do so many wonderful, great things with it. You know, right. If you're living a life of abundance, you can become a philanthropist. You can endow universities and give money away and change lives and do great things. But I think a lot of people just have this mindset, man. It's like, if I go up and I start approaching people for money, like, what are they going to think of me? But what you have to understand is that people that are, you know, accredited, people that do have discretionary income, they're always looking for places for their money to be put to work. Money is no more than a tool. And once you understand that principle and concept, it becomes really easy to have conversations with other people about money, about their investments, about allowing you to help them. And the approach that I've always taken is I've got this wonderful investment, almost like a diamond, that can help somebody create income, lower their taxes, create some growth, capital appreciation. So why would I not go out and build relationships and talk to people about that? It's almost like I'm doing a disservice not to do it. The other, though, I think also is just the fear of rejection. You know, we as a society are so caught up in like, what will other people think? And when you're raising money, you know, you're going to get a lot of no's, I'm not interested. And what I've trained and taught hundreds of people is basically expect to get the no so you can work through that to get the yes. And the best analogy I always give to people is when you go into any store and the clerk comes up to you and says, hi, my name's Scott. Can I help you today? What invariably is the first thing that comes out of your mouth?
Right. No, I'm just looking.
There you go. It's like a scripted response that is so innate, embedded inside of us. And so that's what you're going to get when you call somebody on the phone. Hi, my name is Brad Blazer from Five Star Capital. You know, we're a real estate private equity firm. I was calling yada, yada, yada. Boom. No, I'm not interested. But if you expect that, what you can do very quickly is come right back almost with a scripted response and say, you know, I appreciate that. Before you hang up and I let you go, just out of curiosity, why was it you said that? Had you invested in something like this perhaps in the past where it just didn't work out the way you had intended it to? And they're going to answer. And then you come right back with another response. And what you find is you start basically building down the barriers once you explain to that person that you're not calling with the intent to sell anything today. And I've literally seen people take a I am not interested to a 20 to 30 minute phone call conversation just because they expected to get that on the front end. They were prepared for it. They knew exactly what to say.
Right.
And once they were able to break down that barrier, they had a very, very engaging conversation. They were able to send information on who they were, what they did, follow up. And, you know, 3 to 4 weeks later, they were getting the person to open their checkbook and write them a nice check.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's just in the preparation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about what it is that you do at Capital School and how, you know, if folks are at a point where either, you know, it's time for them to start raising for their first time or, you know, they've done it and it's been bumpy in the past. It's not perfected, let's call it, you know, what it is, what do you do and how do you help folks?
Well, I think what makes me uniquely different than a lot of the quote, the people out there that are, you know, in the space, I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, there are people out there that, you know, will help you raise money in multifamily or help you get started to raise a little bit of money to flip a house here and there. Yeah. Is I've raised $2 billion. And essentially, I've done it, Neil, from pretty much any and all sources that you can fathom, whether it's high net worth, retail individuals, the family office space. I put together funds and brought them to the broker dealer and the investment advisory community. I've raised $50 million out of the state of Israel, sovereign wealth funds, you know, insurance companies, pensions. And so when somebody comes to me, if they've already had success doing something, I can take them, quote, to that next level of success. Great, you've raised $10 million from individuals. Let me show you how to get into family offices. Or, hey, you've raised money from individuals and family offices. Let me teach you how to launch a $50 to $100 million fund and show you the steps, show you how to put together the offering memorandum, you know, show you what you need to do to file with the SEC, et cetera, et cetera. So I think what makes Capital School as a platform so globally successful, where today we're blessed, we coach students literally in about 10 countries around the world, not just here in the U.S. We got students in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, over in England, in Dubai, in Finland, Africa, is the ability to attract another person's attention as a potential investor. is largely going to be the same anywhere you go on the globe.
Sure.
It doesn't matter whether you're here or in Australia. It's getting that person's interest.
That's right.
Then knowing what to say to them, having a $1 million pitch deck that looks like it came from a $1 million brand, and then understanding some of that sales psychology and how to close that person, how to get them to commit, and then understanding the framework of the things that you need, i.e. a pitch deck, an offering memorandum, you know, a one pager. Those things we can teach. And that's why we've had so much success. And that's why we've had tremendous testimonials. Now, obviously, each country is going to be a little different as it relates to the do's and the don'ts. But I think one of the big things that have made us hugely successful is just that. And as a coach and as a keynote speaker, when I sit down and talk to literally hundreds of people a year, what I find is everybody has a desire to be doing something bigger in life.
That's right.
You know, it's like when I ask people, they say, man, I've always had this desire to start or launch a business. Great. Or I've always had this desire to get started in real estate. Great. Well, how long have you had that dream or that goal or that desire? Oh, hell, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, you've had that dream or that goal or desire to do something bigger with your life for 4 or 5 years. Like, what's the one thing that's been holding you back? And it always comes down to that lack of capital. So I just don't have the money. Right. Well, what people need to understand is that's not a reason. All the money you need to do anything in life exists. It's just that it's in the pockets and bank accounts of other people. And we call that OPM. Robert Kiyosaki in Rich Dad, Poor Dad said one of the key fundamental principles of understanding how to create and build wealth is the use of OPM. And I believe that other people's money and the knowledge and the ability to get that is the single biggest asset that any entrepreneur, any business owner, any CEO really needs to understand, because that is what's going to allow you to scale and accelerate and really grow your business much faster than trying to do it on your own.
And you think about on the extreme side, all the wealthiest people in this country, right? The Elon Musk, the Bill Gates, they all did it. Warren Buffett didn't do it with his own capital. It's all done through other people's money.
Correct.
It's just another lever of leverage, right?
Well, you're exactly right. It's like, you know, it's like a margin account.
Right.
It's like, you know, putting $10,000 to control a, you know, $150,000 asset. And we all understand how leverage works in real estate.
That's
because
right.
It is a leveraged asset. But that use of other people's money, you know, when you can be the general partner in a deal and say, hey, you know, we're going to go out, we're going to buy this $3 million property. I need to come up with $600,000-$700,000. You round it up. You personally have no money in the deal at all, other than your knowledge, the due diligence. You know, now you're a general partner. You're going to get 30 to 40% of that asset's revenue and appreciation for basically putting the whole thing together. You know, now you're talking about a potential upper six-figure, seven-figure paycheck in 4 to 6 years when that property sells. And what I explain to people is, you know, now you're talking about some real life-changing money.
Correct.
You know, if anybody were to hand you $250,000 lump sum and you became a good steward of that capital and invested it wisely, that amount of money has the ability to change your life. You know, $20,000, $40,000 more than likely won't. But once you start getting into those six figures, even seven, that's what I call some life-changing money. You do that 2 or 3 times, man, you're changing not only your life and your family's, but perhaps you're also changing the lives of generations to come.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask you a personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com.
The legacy. You're absolutely right.
Correct.
You hit on something that just struck a thought with me. You know, we are conditioned, real estate's heavily leveraged. We are conditioned to go get money from other people, i.e. traditionally banks, we're going to borrowing money. And, you know, to the tune of 70 or 80 or 90% of the transaction, whatever it may be, but the overwhelming lion's share of the money that comes to a deal is not ours to begin with.
Correct.
And so you're filling in the gap on the equity side, getting the money just from somebody else who's not a banker. It's just a different conversation, but we're already doing it anyway. We're already getting the money from somebody else.
And here's the best part about it. You know, I mean, I talk to people all the time that work with hard money lenders or they work with, you know, the SBA if they're trying to start a business or do something else. And the problem, of course, is those individuals have the right of foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
They very rarely don't take, no, I can't make the payment this month if things go south or the real estate market turns against you. What you have to realize is investors do not have the same rights that a lender does. They can't foreclose. Right. And there have been many cases over the course of my career, both in real estate as well as in oil and gas, where the economy went against us or we were in a recession, where I said to the investors, you know, hey, folks, I know the target's been 7%. We've been making that to you for the last couple of years. Unfortunately, we have to drop our distributions to 4 or 5 to get through this tough, difficult time. They're happy as hell just getting 4 or 5. And they realize, you know, hey, I'm a big boy. I'm an accredited investor. I understood what the risks were. And then hopefully somewhere down the road, you're able to get back and restore the distribution of what it was. But you see, they're not going to come take the keys to the property. Right. You know, they're not going to send you the threatening, nasty letters
right.
that you don't like to get. Lenders do, right? All the time. Banks
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
And so I always explain to people that once you understand this key concept, you'll understand the significance and the importance of being able to build that investor network. And, you know, there are people like me, my good friend, Robert Martinez, who's a big real estate syndicator here in Houston, Texas. Another guy that I'm meeting with on Friday that has a big firm called McCon Investments. You know, we're doing pretty sized deals. And people say, well, how long is it going to take you to raise, you know, $3 million, $4 million? 2 weeks. And they're like, that quickly? Once you build the network and you have your email list, then it's just a matter of posting and sending it out to the list. And you can be doing deal after deal after deal, or you can be raising money in a fund and close out a $25, $50 million fund. It's just understanding the process of what I need to do, getting started. And then once you start having success, it's going back to that investor pool after you've proven your worth to them, mm-hmm. saying, Neil, who are you connected with that we should also be speaking right. to? Because as you start getting those referrals, 8 out of 10 times those referrals will also invest. Now it's not you telling somebody else how wonderful and great you are. It's this third party that they also trust and rely on. So, you know, that's how you scale and that's how you grow. And
it is. Once you learn how to do it, you know how to do it forever.
Correct.
If people want to learn more about you, more about Capital School, where can they find you? Where can they connect? How can they do it?
Yeah, so the best way to find me is through Instagram. It's just my first and last name, the little ampersand sign or whatever they call that little funny looking symbol. But it's bradblazar.com, B-L-A-Z-A-R. There are no E's in my last name. It's B-L-A-Z-A-R. You can go to the website, www.bradblazar.com, and you can see the books there. We have the book Winning at the Capital Game. We've literally shipped copies of that book all around the globe. You can order a copy from me. You can get it signed, or you can go to Amazon. We have information there about Capital School, which is our elite coaching program, as well as our boot camps. For those of you that, you know, are listeners or get access to this podcast before the dates, our next big boot camp is April the 8th and the 9th in Houston. And it is literally an intensive deep dive over the course of 2 days, where I basically unpack and deliver everything I know about raising capital. You get access to all the PDFs, all the workbooks, all the guides. Information on that's up in the website as well.
No, incredible. We'll make sure we get all the links in the show notes here. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, it's from Ben Franklin. Tell me and I forget, teach me and I'll remember, involve me and I will learn. What about that resonates with you so much?
Well, you know, I think it's like the old quote, you can give a guy a fish and feed him for a day, or you can teach him to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Yeah. It's one thing to hear something. It's one thing to see something, but it's an entirely different thing to master something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I've always found is that once you get to a point where you have, as I call it, a demonstrated capacity, which simply means you've gone long in something for a long period of time where you can almost do it in your sleep, you really need to start sharing that and teaching other people. And, you know, it just really moves the needle for me when I get testimonials or I get calls from people that just closed on their first property or just, you know, raised their first couple hundred thousand or in many cases, their first $1 million. Yeah. That's why I do what I do. It's because I realize the skill and the knowledge I have can largely change people's lives.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Yeah, I think that everybody kind of has a cap. It's really interesting question. I've got a good friend in San Antonio, and a couple times throughout the year when I go and I speak at an event, if it's a decent event with some of the larger speakers in this industry, I'll, you know, fly in a private jet rather than fly commercial. And typically what I do is I invite people to go to the event with me. And I invited this good friend of mine. He's a speaker. He's a coach. And he took a seat on the private jet with myself and, you know, seven and eight figure entrepreneurs. And when he got back home, he called me. He said, man, he said, I got to thank you. And I said, for what? He said, well, number one, it was a great event, but just being on that private plane with you opened my mind to the fact that I had got too comfortable in life. We're making good money. I got a nice house. I just wasn't pushing myself to the next level, and being exposed to what you shared with me over the weekend got me hungry again. It activated something in me where, man, I'm so goal focused right now. And I think that's largely for a lot of people. You know, what happens is we kind of get to that camp, we're comfortable. And as I like to say, everybody wants six pack abs, but very few people are willing to put the work in to get them. You get to the point where you're making good money and you're like, I just don't want to work that hard. Well, if you're making a couple hundred G's a year, why not work your ass off to make seven figures? Right. If you're making seven figures, why not work a little harder, build a team to get to eight? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that much more work. But unfortunately, just a lot of people just aren't willing to put in that extra effort.
It actually gets easier the higher you get, doesn't it?
It does. You know, you surround yourself with other big thought leaders. You find your support team. And you find that, you know, if you start doing some things a little differently, they really move the needle. And right. We unfortunately live in a society where we expect things fairly quickly. You know, that's why the fast food industry is thriving. But what you need to understand is monumental transformation and monumental change does not happen overnight.
Right.
But small incremental changes or small incremental habits have a compounding effect that over 6 months, over 2 years, compound and translate into major results. I mean, you know, Bradley, for example, probably one of the most recognized names in the podcast industry today, just throws content out there every single day. Says, man, if you'd seen me 3 or 4 years ago, I sucked at what I was doing. But I was showing up every day. I was throwing out content out there, and it just had that compounding effect over time. And eventually I built this big community of followers. And today, of course, that has rewarded me.
Correct.
Where I'm known, where I go. And, you know, it's the same way. Roger Wakefield, they call him the most noted plumber on the planet. The dude got into social media. The guy makes seven figures, not as a plumber.
Not as a plumber.
But as a social media content creator. And I think you just have to get outside your skin, get a little uncomfortable, and sometimes do the things really that you're initially scared of. I call that basically working on the hard.
Yep.
It's the things that you don't necessarily want to do, but you got to do them.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I'm most passionate about family and enjoying my family time. I'm an avid outdoorsman, love to fish. I live right on the river here in our community, and also very focused on kind of competing with myself. I have played team sports before, but I really like more what I call the individual sports, triathlon, running, because when you're doing those types of things, you're really just competing with yourself.
You versus you.
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Volunteer work.
Yeah.
You know, I really just, volunteer work, showing up, helping others, and just being there to support different causes, whether it's Girl Scouts, which is my daughter's in, or the school, but it's really just making an impact in other people's lives.
Yeah, no, that's terrific. Well, I sincerely appreciate you taking the time to connect up here to share what it is that you do, because I think for for so many folks, and you touched on it, there's a mental piece that just, hitting that switch, like you talked about, that, you know, that your high producing friend going to the next level. And for a lot of people, going to the next level means raising money to begin with. And for the next level is raising even more money.
Correct. Absolutely. I mean, it's just one of those things where you just have to wake up and realize there is so much more waiting for you. I call it stepping into your bigger potential. And, it's my belief, everybody has a desire to be doing something more in life. The question is, I believe in you. Do you believe in yourself? Once you do, when you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I deserve more, I'm going to put my amateurish ways behind me and make the mental decision to go pro, as Tim Grover would say, that's the thing that separates the Michael Jordans, separated the Kobe Bryants before he passed, the Tiger Woods, but pretty much everybody else in sports. It's like they put their amateurish bullshit ways over here and they say, man, I'm going to go pro and show up and just live life big. And they commit. And it's the same thing when it comes to scaling a real estate business. Once you commit and you start understanding some of these principles, you start talking to some of the people that have been hugely successful to see how they've done it. Like you said, it all comes back to the use of other people's money, whether it's a lender or whether it's an investor.
It's all there. It's all there. It's all been done. The script's already been written. Yep. Just follow the plan, right?
Exactly. That's it. 100%.
Yeah. I really appreciate you taking the time to connect up, and we'll get the links put in the show notes here so people can further the conversation with you and your team. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure to be here. And if I can support you or anybody else that's one of your listeners, don't hesitate to reach out. We're here just to provide our knowledge and our books and our content and really just try to help people create that superpower, as I call it, of learning how to attract and raise capital so they can build, buy, or scale a business or invest in something special just like real estate.
Yeah, wonderful. I appreciate it. So for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.